Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good to be here. Happy New Year to everyone. Like the psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. So it's just so good to be here. Our first broadcast in the year 2015. So it's so good to be here. So we thank God we've not been on for a couple of weeks, but we're back. So it's good to be here. So many didn't make it. So many made it, and some are even gone in this early part of the new year. But so the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. So it's just good to be in the land of the living. And so we thank God for all of our listeners, all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, all of our Twitter listeners and followers, all of our LinkedIn listeners and followers. Just thank God for you. Whatever way that you are listening, if you went to the website, blogtalkradio.com, /truth-. So that's blogtalkradio.com/truth-. So if you've done that, you can also listen to the broadcast, too. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? A question. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above heaven, all heavens, that he might feel all things. So this is Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church, who is already saved. He is admonishing them in the work of the Lord and letting them know there's one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So it's good to be here. So we're still talking about the early church, and our theme obviously is the Godhead. And you could call in if should you desire to call in, should you have a question or a comment, you can call 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So it's January the 7th, 2015, a little after 5:30 p.m. in the Eastern time zone. So today, we want to pick up. So we've been going through the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and we're talking about the resurrection after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we were talking about the works that Christ done. And so we were in the gospel. So we, as I've said, if you've been following me, Luke wrote Saint Luke, and he also wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So after the resurrection of Christ, one of the most profound accounts Luke gives of his account, they thought he was a gardener, onto the road to Emmaus. So he led them up as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them, and a cloud received them out of their sight. He said, "Men, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? The same Jesus was taken up, shall come, also come in like manner." So the account continues in the book of Luke. The Luke's account continues, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. That's why we find ourselves still walking on through the book of Acts. So last time we were talking about St. Peter, or the Apostle Peter, in the 10th chapter of Acts, and his the man with the power and the authority. That's what it means when Jesus says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven." So that's what keys to the kingdom of heaven means, power and authority. So Peter had the power. Peter had the authority. St. Peter had to open up the church to the Gentiles. So that was about 11 years after Pentecost, I'm told, when he went to Cornelius' house and opened up salvation to the Gentiles. Because initially, he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but everyone was included. That's why, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So this was definitely his mission, to seek and to save that which is lost. So he didn't die just for Israel, but he died for the sin of the whole world. So we concluded, we walked through the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the 10th chapter on last week, in the account of Peter going in to Cornelius as the angel had sent, appeared under Cornelius, who was a leader of the Italian band. And it was an angel appeared unto him, told him to go to Joppa and send for Simon Peter, who is lodged with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He's going to tell you what you oughtest to do. So we went through that account. And so the vision also that Peter had, God gave him a vision because he thought this was just for the Jews, but he let him know, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He said, not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Voice spake unto him again the second time, well, God has cleansed, call that not thou common. This was done thrice. The vessel was received up again to heaven. So while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. This is the Lord talking. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause? Wherefore are ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that feared God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So we go on here. So when he got there, skip down to verse 29 in Acts 10. Therefore came I unto thee without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for 1 in 10 have you sent for me. This is Peter saying to Cornelius. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house. Behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. That's the angel who he is given, Cornelius is given reference to. And said, Cornelius, thy prayers heard and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of Simon, one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. And immediately, therefore, I sent to thee. And thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now, this is Cornelius talking to Peter. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism, which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Remember, he was crucified. Remember, he was made a curse. That cross was a curse. Curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. And back in the Old Testament, and Apostle Paul also gives witness of that in the book of Galatians, as it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he goes on here, how God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto us witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. You remember on last time I made reference about apostles, there that one of the signs of being an apostle, you had to see the Lord, you had to be eyewitnesses, you had to be taught by him. He picked them, they laid the foundation, they wrote the New Testament scriptures, and last of all, they died horrible deaths. There are no apostles nowadays, but he chose them and he named them apostles. And the names of the 12 apostles are in the 12 foundations in New Jerusalem. Their names are in those 12 foundations, the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So that's exactly what that means, 12. There are no apostles nowadays. And there are women and men naming themselves apostles, which they should not be doing because there are no apostles nowadays. So he said, not to all the people, but unto us, witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So they were eyewitnesses. So, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of and dead. That means the living and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth on him or in him shall receive remission of sin. So I'm just kind of recapping from the last time. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which believed, were astonished, and as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? This is a question. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and prayed they him to tarry certain days. So the name of the Lord is Jesus. So anybody that knows anything about Christendom knows that the name of the Lord is Jesus. His title is Lord. His name is Jesus. At the name of Jesus, Apostle Paul said, at every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you got to have the Holy Ghost. No man speak by the Spirit of God, calleth the Jesus a curse, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. That's in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. So today we want to move on, and so we're talking about Peter being apprehended and put in prison. And prayer was made without ceasing of the church for Saint Peter. So this is what we're going to talk about on today. So it's just so important, like the proverbial writer Solomon says in Proverbs, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And he goes on to say, and in all thy getting, get understanding. So he's saying, take hold of her. She is her life. So it's speaking of that, about wisdom and understanding in the feminine gender. So take hold of her. She is thy life. So this is what we need to do, is to get an understanding, because you only have one soul. You know, some people say we are a soul, whatever way you want to put it. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So God says all souls are mine. This is back in the book of Ezekiel. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So father's not going to bear the son of the sin of the son, or vice versa. So in other words, every man has to give account to God for himself. And when that man, that word man, the Bible speaks in masculine gender. On, like I said, it speaks in about wisdom and knowledge, take hold of her, and speaking in the masculine gender, except a man be born again. He's not just talking about male, but he's talking about the human family. So in the fifth chapter of Genesis, talked about the generations of man, and he said how God blessed them, and he called their name Adam. So he's talking about Adam and Eve. He's talking about the human family. He called their name Adam, Adam and Eve. So just like a couple. Somebody get married, their last name, whatever their last name is, a couple, say I use myself for an example, and say I'm with my wife, and I go over somebody's house, and they say the Cannons were here or are here. So that's what you can use. That's a good example about God calling their name Adam, talking about Adam and Eve. They were one. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife. They twain shall be one flesh. So you are one, but you both have to give account to God for yourself as an individual. So anyway, so we're going on here. So we know the Holy Ghost is poured out at Cornelius and his near kins and friends, which were Gentiles, was poured out on them, and that's the fulfillment. So the whole human family, the arm of the Lord has been extended to them to receive the new birth experience. As the apostle said when he went to Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So in other words, you're not a Jew, whatever other nationality you are, it's extended to you too, is the point. So he goes on, for to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Original text, I believe it's Habakkuk 2 and 4, as it is written, the just shall live by his, as an individual. So you can believe God for yourself. You have faith, have it to yourself and before God. It's in the book of Romans. So you can believe God for yourself. So all of this so-called people talking about, get somebody to agree with you in prayer. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, that was talking about the deacon board or the board of elders or whatever you want to call it. They were talking about forgiveness, and they were saying, two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, because they had went through the steps of praying for an individual. And he goes on to say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So in other words, I'm there. They're going to get that settled. Two of you shall agree on earth as any touching what they shall ask, they shall have it. Why are they going to have it? Because I'm there, is what the Lord is saying. So that's what that's talking about, forgiveness. But you can believe God for yourself. So you better agree with the word and believe the word as an individual. So we go on here after Peter preached, and they prayed him to stay with them certain days, and the Holy Ghost was given to the Gentiles. So the door of the church is open to every nation. This is what he said to every nation. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So it was preached, published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism of John. So he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify as he that was ordained of God be the judge of quick and dead, of the living and the dead. So it's for everyone. It's what he's letting them know. So then we go on down, continue, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, see, now Jerusalem was the headquarters that they had, that they were of the circumcision, contended with him, the Jews. In other words, they confronted him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised. Remember I said the circumcision, what the Bible is talking about when it says the circumcision, it's talking about the Jews. So they were calling the if you weren't a Jew, the uncircumcised, and did his eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning. Remember that vision that he had? And from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying and in a trance, and I saw a vision, and a certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-foot beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times, or, you know, thrice. That's three times. I think that's German, thrice. Iced, iced, thrice. And all were drawn up again into heaven. Behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Cornelius. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, were entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Now this is Peter telling the Jews about his experience. And so he's talking, when he says the Holy Ghost fell on them as it did on us at the beginning, he's talking about the day of Pentecost. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I to that I could withstand God? He's asking them a question. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now he's talking about everlasting life. So in other words, on the day of Pentecost, when they asked Peter, when the Holy Ghost, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and he preached Jesus, and they said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? He told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you, talking about the Jews, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He exhorted and testified with many other words, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. They that gladly received his word were baptized, and were added unto the church about 3,000 souls. And he goes on to say, They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and breaking of bread and of prayers. So this is all in Acts, of what I just quoted, beginning at verse 36, 37, and on downward to about verse 41, 42 in Acts, the second chapter. So he goes on, so he says, Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travailed as from Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. When he came, had seen the grace of God, and was glad and exhorted them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Remember Apostle Paul, his name is not changed yet here. He got converted back in the 9th chapter of Acts. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they were assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. That's talking about relief, talking about help, talking about money. So about the time of Herod the king, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. In other words, that word vex means trouble. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, talking about Peter, he put him in prison, delivered him to the four quarternums of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Talking about after the Passover. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So this is what we're talking about on today. So the devil was mad because Peter is the man of God. Peter had the power and authority. Peter went and preached the gospel to the Gentiles. So the door of the church has been opened to everyone, and they are mad about it. And so the devil is mad, and so they used Herod during the days of Herod they put Peter in prison. So they think they're going to shut him up. They got another thing coming. Plus, they're not going to kill him because God already let him know what death that he would die in the 21st chapter of St. John, that when he's old, he's going to carry him whether he would is go. That's talking about to his death, because Peter, according to Fox's book of martyr, Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't think he was worthy to be crucified right side up like the Lord was. So Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, that you got to listen to everything that I'm saying. Now, this is in the 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. He was sleeping between two soldiers bound with chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. You imagine? This is an angel came and rescued Peter in the prison. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." In other words, get dressed, put on your clothes, put on your sandals. So he did. He said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." So in other words, put your clothes on, get dressed. You're in your bed clothes, put your shoes on, as we would say, put your clothes on, follow me. And he went out and followed him. And he wist not that he was that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So in other words, somebody said, God is the God of drastic changes. Oh, yes, he could change something in a moment. He can make changes. Oh, yeah, he flipped the script. We can't flip it. Like, he can do it. He can open doors. No man can shut. Nobody can stop him. He's God. He does what he will in the army of heaven. Daniel said, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? It ain't going to do no good because he's God. He don't have to answer to nobody. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omniscient. He's everywhere and every place, and he's omniscient. He's all-knowing, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipotent. So he sent his angel to deliver Peter. So while they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. So, see, they got you chained. They got you chained in. They got all of these different gates, so you can't escape. And so, see, even like nowadays in the prison system, they got this barbed wire. You should not be able to get out of there. They got a guard. They got all kinds of alarms. People should not be able to escape out of prison. So they went. They were past the first and the second ward. They came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. We talking about rotating doors, how we step on doors in stores and they open. That happened back then because God said it. He commanded his angel to go get Peter out, and everything. The gate opened on his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. So angel came to do his job, got Peter out, the angel left. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people and of the Jews. In other words, they wanted to shut him up. They wanted to stop him. They couldn't kill him, so they wanted to lock him up. So he locked up. He can't preach to them. So, and when he had considered the thing, just talking about Peter, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. This is John Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she saw Peter, when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. She was so happy, like they're praying, and here he is knocking at the gate. But ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. They said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. They praying, they didn't even believe. They said unto her, then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. So, in other words, it was a big stir. I like that biblical terminology that they use. There was no small stir. That means it was a big deal. It was a big stir among the soldiers, which what was become of Peter. Now, when Herod had sought for him, talking about Peter, and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. You imagine, I wouldn't want to be one of those soldiers that kept him. That's a military term. When Peter says in his book, he says, we are kept by the power of God unto salvation. So kept, that's to keep you, is a military term. So in other words, they standing guard. So that's what God is doing even today with the people of God. We are kept by the power of God. And so some people, many of us have been in some situations, but God got us out of those situations. And then sometimes people probably wonder, see, God is the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of the water. He turneth whithersoever he will. So some people probably in retrospect, when they look back and think, you know, how they could have hindered you, or I should have done this, or should have, would have, could have, as they say. But you can't do nothing when God's hand is on somebody. He will stop a lion's mouth, let alone a man or a woman. He will deliver his people. He is not playing. No harm is going to come, but he will shut people up, and they will be baffled later on as to why they couldn't do this or they couldn't do that, because you can't do nothing for the truth. This is what Apostle Paul was saying. We can do nothing against the truth. So we go on here. So he commanded them that they should be put to death, the keepers. So, and that, I mean, what a shame, because there's nothing they could do, because God sent his angel to deliver Peter out of that prison. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. Remember, that's two places Jesus upbraided them of their unbelief during his earthly ministry. They came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. So should you desire to call, I just want to give out the number again. Call-in number 646-716-6566. If you have a comment or a question, you can call. With the time we have left, we can try to get you in. That is 646-716-6566. And again, you are in tune to Truth Ministry. I am your spokesman, the spokesman for the King of Glory, in the person of Elder Michael E. Cannon. So, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, set upon his throne and made an oration unto them, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not a man. So in other words, they were praising him in their own way. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, talking about Herod, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname is Mark. So that's the house that they went to after Peter got out of prison. So Herod is dead. This is another Herod. Remember the Herod that sought to kill the young child Jesus? When they fled down, the angel of the Lord told Joseph to take his wife and child, go down into Egypt and tell Herod, be dead. It's in Matthew's gospel. And so it's probably in more than one gospel. But so after the death of Herod, they were able to return back to Israel. So it is here. Here's another Herod. Got himself in trouble. Got smote. So God is not playing. So he killed him because he gave not God the glory. So we see Peter, what we were wanting to talk about. He was apprehended. He was put in prison, and he's out of prison. Herod had the soldiers put to death, which nothing they could do because the angels of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, delivered Peter out of the prison. So, and then Herod is smote because he didn't give God the glory. And but the word of God grew and multiplied. So we go on here into the 13th chapter. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and as they ministered to the Lord, that means they served and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Paul and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Talking about Barnabas and Saul. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. And so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. So this is so remember, we're talking about apostles. So Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He said it when he wrote to the church at Rome. "I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office." So he was the last apostle. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were sailed, and they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. Talking about John Mark, he was their minister, or their, he served them. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country. Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, which stood them seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So then Saul, who is also called Paul, so this is when his name is Paul from here on out. So Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" He asked him a question. "Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." Immediately there fell on him a mist of darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So in other words, doctrine is teaching. So you know who that happened to? Apostle Paul. He was blind for 3 days. So that's when Ananias came in and said, "The Lord, even Jesus, has appeared unto me, thou might be receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell, as it had been, scales from his eyes. He arose and was baptized. So he literally saw, literally with his eyes, and the eyes of his understanding were open. So he could see. He knew that there is only one God. And so Then the deputy, when he saw that what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. When Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Phrygia and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Phrygia, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. In other words, listen. Audience is they hear what somebody is saying. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. So you know he used the man Moses to deliver them out of Egypt, which was definitely a bondage by the Egyptians. About the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Shanaan, he divided their land to them by lot, Shanaan or Canaan. And after the Shanaan, and after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 400 years, 450 years until Samuel the prophet. After they desired a king, God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. We had removed him. He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. This man seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So, you know, in the book of the Revelation, at the end, the God says, I, Jesus, send mine angel to testify these things. This is in the book of the Revelation. I am the Jesus, you know, testify these things. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David. This is the same reference, what he's making reference here to. This man's seed, a God according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I'm not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For all they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher, or a sepulcher, either word. But God raised him from the dead, and when he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And when we declared unto you good tidings, how that the promise which was made unto our fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, that he raised up Jesus again, as in it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That's concerning that he raised him from the dead, no man, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give unto you the sure mercies of David. That's in the 55th Psalm. The 55th chapter of Isaiah, excuse me. Even the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he said also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. David, after he had served him, his own generation, by the will of God, fell on sleep, was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. He's talking about the grave. But be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. He's talking about Jesus. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall nowise believe, though a man declare it unto you. This is in the book of Isaiah, making reference of the prophet Isaiah. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Remember the Jews now. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, talking about the Jews, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. See, now it was written in the book of Isaiah, but he's going to be a light unto the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. So I'm going to stop right there. So we just thank God today for his word. And so we will talk to you on next time. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.